This gospel message is brought to you by the Reformed Witness Hour, a ministry of the Protestant Reformed Churches in America. A Reformed denomination that strives to be faithful to the Word of God and the historic confessions of the Reformed faith, also known as Calvinism. In love for our great God, we proclaim the Christian faith and life that is founded on God's sovereign particular grace. As God's Word is expounded, we pray that these messages are a blessing to you.
When Christ was born about 2,000 years ago, an angel appeared to lowly shepherds near Bethlehem. Last week we considered the great fear of those shepherds when the angel reflected God's holy glory round about them. We saw how the angel of God calmed their fears with the message of the gospel. Today we look more closely at this message of the gospel which the angels brought on the day of Christ's birth. They announce this in Luke 2, verses 11 and 12. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. Dear radio listener, there is only one real Savior from sin. From sin's guilt, sin's punishment, sin's bondage, and sin's fear. There is only one Savior, and it's this one born in Bethlehem. This one Savior who is no longer a child, but the crucified, risen, and ascended King, named Jesus. In this season, which many call Christmas, it is important that you are not distracted from this one and only Savior. Among the many distractions that come at this time of year, I want to point out a specific kind of distraction from the true Savior, and that is the distraction of a false Savior. The true Christ warns us of this in His Word, that there will be many counterfeit or fake saviors in the last days. Matthew 24, verse 23 records Jesus saying, Then if any man shall say unto you, Lo, here is Christ, or there, believe it not. Please think with me. Do you believe in the true Jesus Christ, or are you being deceived to trust in someone else who is Jesus in name only? It is important that you search the Scriptures to make sure, for there is only one Savior among many false Christs today. In this time of year, you will see many illustrations, pictures, nativity scenes of the one they call Jesus. But we must ask whether these sentimental scenes depict the true Christ or a falsehood. What if these are man-made images which not only infringe upon the second commandment of God's holy law, which they do, but worse, what if these are merely illusions which point to a fake Christ and therefore away from the true Christ and the true gospel? Many, of course, would prefer not to even consider this, and some would call me a Grinch or a Scrooge to point this out, but I tell you the truth. The neat, clean scenes of a charming baby in an immaculate place called a manger are inaccurate. Here is the truth. When Jesus, the Son of God, came in our human flesh as a baby, He was born into poverty. He was born into darkness, not light. He was born into ugliness, not beauty. That's the essence of the shocking message that the angels brought to the shepherds, you see. When the angel said, Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, they explained where? in the last place you would have thought, lying in a manger, which was a dirty feeding container for animals. Back up with me for a moment. Joseph and Mary were of the lower class, and when they arrived in Bethlehem, there was no room in the inn we read in Luke chapter 2. An exhausted woman in her third trimester of pregnancy could not gain the compassion of the busy residents of Bethlehem. Joseph must have frantically searched for an alternate place for his wife to rest and where she could deliver her baby. The best he found was a shelter fit for beasts. Travelers to Bethlehem had stored their sweaty donkeys in a shack or a cave nearby, and it was in the darkness of such a cattle stall that Mary went into labor. And it was here that the baby, the son of David, was born. He looked and he sounded like other babies, bloody, dirty, and crying, with no radiant beams shining from his face, contrary to the carols of today. And his bed was not a nice cradle or crib with golden straw, as often depicted, but a manger, a feeding trough for slobbering pack animals. Mary and Joseph wrapped this child, we read, in swaddling clothes, which was ordinary cloth, or perhaps even rags, that poor people, like Mary and Joseph were, had brought along with them. And having wrapped him in those swaddling cloths, laid him in that manger. This, you see, was not an attractive scene with glowing ambiance. Rather, in contrast, it was the fulfillment of Isaiah's prophecy in Isaiah 53, verse 2. We read, "He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected of men." Those were the circumstances into which he was born. In John chapter 1, verse 11, John explains what happened that night. "He came unto his own, and his own received him not." And then we read later on in 2 Corinthians 8, verse 9, Paul explained what happened when Jesus was born. "For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor." You see, this is the true nativity scene. The Son of God, who was rich in heaven, came to be poor. And this is the true Jesus Christ. How astonishing it must have been to those shepherds when they heard the angel give them this message: "Unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." They understood Christ, you see, as the one born as the Messiah, the anointed one, the King. And the angel continued, "And this shall be a sign unto you, ye shall find the babe wrapped," not, notice, "in silk or fine linen of a prince, but wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying not in a palace nursery, but in a manger for animals." How extraordinary in the oddest sense of the word. How surprising and shocking that a king would be in this location. "This shall be a sign unto you," the angel said to those shepherds. A sign is something striking which catches your attention, as it did those shepherds, and points you to an important reality. The baby in a manger was a sign, the angel said, an astonishing thing which pointed the shepherds to the true Savior. Notice 3 points about this sign: of a baby in a manger with me. First, this sign was very practical in that it provided the shepherds with correct directions to the correct baby who was born, the Christ, the Savior of the world. The shepherds did not have a star, you see, guiding them like later wise men would have. They did not have a map or a GPS system in modern society today, as we do today. They did not have an address for the angel to plug into a phone. And there were other babies, probably, in the busy town of Bethlehem. Which baby was the right one? How would they find the newborn king? The baby in a manger was a sign, the angel said. Like a sign that we see driving on the highway, we see a sign posted on the side of the road with an arrow pointing us in the right direction. The shepherds, you see, would look for this sign for directions. They would look for a place in Bethlehem where there were mangers, feeding containers for animals. That would narrow their search down. They would not search in homes or inns, but in stables or caves or places where animals were kept. They would look for a baby in a place where no parent under any ordinary circumstances would put their baby, in a manger. This was a sign to give directions to the shepherds that they might find and worship the Savior of the world. But secondly, the sign of a baby in a manger was not only for directions, it was a sign also in this sense that it was a miracle to behold. Significantly, the word miracle in the Bible means sign. Those are equivalent terms. The angel was telling the shepherds that the baby in a manger was a miracle. Not only would he later on do miracles, he is a miracle. This is Christ, they said, the Lord. The word Lord points us to the fact that Jesus was and is God, God himself. And what was so miraculous about it is this, that God himself now had come in human flesh. What a sign, what a miracle. The Almighty was a weak infant, the Creator now a crying babe, the Eternal now come in time, the uncontainable now in a feeding container, the Holy One of Glory now hidden in the darkness of a shed. Paul says later on in 1 Timothy 3, great is this mystery of godliness. What a sign, what a miracle. The one who is truly God and at the same time now truly man, whose person is God the Son, yet while being unchanged as God the Son, incomprehensibly and permanently united to a human nature with a body and soul of a baby. God with us. A sign, a miracle to behold. But more, and most importantly, this babe lying in a manger was a sign that pointed to his work of salvation. It was a sign of his saving work. The baby in a manger was not only a sign for directions, the baby in a manger was not only a sign in the sense of a miracle, but the baby in a manger was a sign that pointed to what he had come to do. He is Savior, the angel had said to the shepherds. What kind of Savior? The sign says, a suffering Savior. Why is Christ the King, the Son of God, outside in the cold when all the other babies are warm inside? Why is he in a manger rather than a cradle? Why in animal quarters and not in a palace of a king? This is a sign, the angel said, a sign that points to what the Savior came to do and in fact was already doing as a baby. He came to suffer. He came to suffer rejection, loneliness, poverty, as God's wrath came against him for sin. 2 Corinthians 5 verse 21 explains this. For he hath, that is God hath made him, Christ, to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. The manger was a sign that pointed to the Son of God, who had taken human flesh, so that human sin would be counted as his own. And having taken upon himself the sins of his people, though he himself never sinned once, this Christ the Lord began suffering as the greatest of sinners should, already as a child, from womb to tomb. The cries of the baby rejected at birth would increase and culminate in the awful cry of Jesus, who was rejected of all men and forsaken of God on that dark cross. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? The poverty he suffered in that manger was a sign that pointed ahead to the awful emptiness he experienced through his life, and especially when he gave up everything in his death. 2 Corinthians 8 verse 9 is a perfect commentary. I already quoted it, but I do so again. For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor. Why? So that ye, through his poverty, might be rich. The sign of the Savior in a manger declared he was born in poverty to make us rich. His saving work was to take the punishment that we deserve for our sins so that we might be given the riches of salvation, you see. Rich not in the sense of earthly riches. Jesus did not die to save us and make us rich here below with earthly prosperity and wealth. That's another false gospel and false Christ. But rather, the Savior suffered poverty so that in suffering poverty, he might remove the just punishment we deserve and earn for us heaven, the riches of heaven soon to come, and also the spiritual riches in heavenly places which Jesus gives to us by his Holy Spirit to all those who he has died for and who believe. Dear listener, all who believe in this Savior made poor to suffer for our sins, all those who believe in this Savior believe in the true Jesus Christ of Scripture. And you can be sure that though you deserve nothing but hell, Jesus has suffered your hell to give you heavenly riches. Don't you see, dear believer, the danger of a nice nativity scene with glowing ambiance and everyone enjoying happiness of an earthly kind? Don't you see that the sign of the Savior's work in suffering our poverty is hidden in such a nativity scene? We might have then a sentimental picture for warm feelings, but it distracts us from the real Savior come to suffer. I call you in this season to put out of your mind all the distractions, but especially the distraction of the inaccurate or false Christ, of a cute baby in a rocking cradle and I call you to believe in the true suffering Savior. All who repent and believe in this Savior, God made flesh to suffer in our place for sin, may know this, as the angel told the shepherds, unto you has been born in the city of David the Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Unto you and for you. For he has suffered in your place the wrath of God you deserve, and forgiveness of your sins, eternal life, and the riches of salvation are free to you. This is the true Savior. Remember, he is no longer a baby, and he's no longer suffering as a sacrifice for sin. It is finished, he said on the cross, after he was done with the suffering of God's judgment for us. He is now risen and ascended to heaven. And as risen and ascended Savior, he is sovereignly working out all things to return and bring about the riches of the new heavens and the new earth for his people. Let every listener believe in this true Christ and rejoice in all the blessings of salvation given us in him. Let us pray. Our God of heaven, what a Savior thou art. We give thee thanks that thou hast not left us in our spiritual poverty and bankruptcy, but thou hast come in the person of thy Son in human flesh. Thou hast had no obligation to do this, Lord. It would have been just to leave us puny sinners in our spiritual bankruptcy and to destroy us in hell. But abundant is thy grace, so abundant that thou hast sent thine Son, thine only begotten Son, to suffer poverty, rejection, ugliness, the forsaking of both man and God, so that the punishment due us was placed upon him, and through his poverty we are made rich. Give us true faith in the true Jesus Christ, and focus us in this season so that we put aside distractions and think upon our Savior. Strengthen our faith in him as well as our joy, and give us a life devoted unto his service. Amen.
The gospel message you have just heard was sponsored by the Protestant Reformed Churches through its radio program, The Reformed Witness Hour. We hope that you have been edified and encouraged by this message. If you would like more information about the Reformed faith or the Protestant Reformed Churches, feel free to visit our website at ReformedWitnessHour.org or email us at mail@ReformedWitnessHour.org.